Yo, 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 what's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's once again another exciting episode of the Roundtable Podcast. It is your boy Double B Bad Blood, the franchise player. And today, man, I got a real cool interview. This is a guy I've known for a very long time, and he wears a lot of hats, man. I mean, like, he's a professional wrestling personality. He's a comedian. He's a host. He does random shit. He's a sports nut. He does it all. He's my boy. Bring him in here, Josh Tariff. Josh, welcome to the Roundtable Podcast.
Bad Blood, BJ, my friend, it's been a long time. Always good to see you, even if it's through the virtual world.
Well, man, you know, right now with the world the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's got to be. So how you been, man?
You know, I've been, you know, doing the best I can, you know, given all the circumstances, you know, just continuing to work for, you know, whoever, wherever, however, man, you know, just, you know, keep trying to, you know, continue to push myself out there while helping, hopefully, while I push myself out there, that helps other people get their names out even further.
True statement, man. You've always been that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been that guy that always wants to help people and kind of put people over. I mean,
that's what managers and commentators are supposed to do.
I was gonna say, let's talk about the wrestling, man. Like, I know you as the character Christian Rosenberg.
Yes,
I know you as the commentator, the guy who puts you over fucking huge, ladies and gentlemen. This guy puts you over like Rover. But I also know you as a manager. I know you as a in ring like a. I wouldn't say in-ring competitor. I would say in-ring
not competitor.
Antagonist.
antagonist. Like play owner. I think when we first met way back when I was reffing as well.
Oh my god! Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we're pretty old, man.
We're old. We go back a long time. Yeah, no, I feel like I can say I've done just about every role that there is in wrestling, including a 1-0 in-ring record. Thank you very much.
That's right. That's right. Get your win, get in, and get out.
Hey, I'm undefeated.
Hey, you can
Goldberg's got nothing on me.
You got a streak that Taker ain't got. You're 1-0.
That's right. That's right. And it's intact.
And it's intact. That's right. That's right. Man, but you do a lot. I just gotta ask, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm going off task here, but I gotta ask. Mm-hmm. You have a fucking cameo?
Yeah, I do.
This man has a cameo, ladies and gentlemen.
Not only do I have a cameo, I've had people order cameos from me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are paying you to be like, "Hey, my name is Josh. Happy birthday."
I've done some where, you know, they just want to be like, say, like they wanted shout outs because they're a fan from my time hosting various shows on AfterBuzz TV. That's right. And I've gotten, you know, people like, well, yeah, wanted the birthday or just say hi. And I think my favorite one that I've had so far is someone had like their annual, like, I guess like a buddy's annual like golf game. And they wanted me to do like the introductions of like for each guy going up to the first tee. They gave me like a little bit of info and then I just improvised it, but still wanted to, cause it's golf. So I'm not going to be like my loud wrestling self. I'm like, you know, my Jim Nance coming up, you know, to the first tee. And I'm just like, that's like a really creative idea for a cameo. That someone sent for me, and mine are much cheaper than the actual celebrities. So look up Josh on Cameo, and I'll be happy to fulfill your request as long as it doesn't sound too obscene.
If you got a cameo, obviously you're a successful celebrity. I mean,
I don't know about that.
I mean, hey, you got a cameo. I mean, you do a lot of shit, man. You do voiceovers. You do comedy. I mean, there's so much talent rolled up in this little guy on my screen right now, ladies and gentlemen. You have no idea.
Man, look at you putting me over like that.
Hey, this right here is called the putover hour, ladies and gentlemen. Where I love it. I won't lie, and I put this guy over like Rover. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the best thing since sliced bread. No, but seriously, man, you do a lot, man. And like, I remember when I first met you, I'm like, this guy's a ref. Like, he has way more, he has way too much personality to be a fucking ref. I mean, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, refs have personality, but you know, you're destined to do more than count to three.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, and it was actually, and I think this was where I first met you through Gary Yap and Epic Pro Wrestling War. Epic
Pro Wrestling War.
Because Gary really, like, before I got connected with Gary, like, my first gigs in wrestling were as a commentator, but this was 2005, 2006. Indie promotions didn't have the technology to do commentary like we do now, where you can just use your iPhone, for crying out loud, and it sounds professional. Yeah. So I kind of fell into reffing, and Gary was kind of that first guy of all the different places that I was being booked as a ref. It's just like, no, he can do other stuff. Like, yep. he has an idea on how programs work. He can, even though he doesn't wrestle, he can kind of, you know, configure a match. He can cut promo, like, blah, blah, blah. And so he was the first guy who really kind of gave me a shot. And as a ref, I still became a character amongst the cast with everyone. And then it really, you know, started propelling from there. So I always, you know, I always credit him, because he's all you ask for is an opportunity. And, yep. You know, you might, you know, if someone hands you the ball, you might run to the end zone. You might get stopped for a loss of 3 yards, but if you get the opportunity, that's all you can ask for. And Gary was really the first guy to give me that opportunity.
Yeah. Gary did a lot of things for a lot of people, man. And, you know, it's funny because you look at, like, 80% of the professional wrestlers that are hot right now in the indies, like Willie Mack is Impact Wrestling star, former Impact Wrestling X Division champion. But Willie Mack was also my tag team partner, along with Eric Watts, LTP, and I, and we formed a group.
I don't know. You can say it. I can't.
The Negro Division. And
that was through Gary, yeah.
And that was through Gary, yeah. You know, then you got Violence Unlimited was like a very over tag team there. And if you look at Violence Unlimited,
that, which now, was
Simon Gotch.
Simon Gotch is Bateman from Ring of Honor, and Funny Bone.
Yeah, that's right, Funny Bone. Yep. So I mean, you got, look, all these guys are going places, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Scorpio Sky was there. Now look, he's at AEW.
Yeah.
Jack Evans, he's at AEW. There's like a whole bunch of people that were there at Gary's Epic War, you know.
Yeah, TJP was there. The Young Bucks were there. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the Young Bucks. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I believe one of our feuds was with the Young Bucks. I'm sure it was. LTP, Eric Watts, myself, and Willie Mack, we feuded with the Young Bucks. We feuded with Violence Unlimited. We feuded with the Suburban Commandos. Like, all of those matches happened at fucking Gary Yap's out there in Newhall.
Yeah. Between there, that little that armory in Newhall, and a warehouse in Murrieta.
California. Which is by Gary's house.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can tell you during my time reffing, my all time favorite match as a referee was in that warehouse in Murrieta. It was Scorpio Sky versus Joey Ryan, and it was in front of 6 or 7 people. That's it. And it was the opening match of the show. And they put on an absolute clinic, to the point where all the other wrestlers who were in, like, you know, the other room getting ready, they went outside where, you know, like the garage door was pretty much down, you know, so passerbys weren't necessary, but it was like, had like this much space, like, on the ground, and the entire locker room came out and
were in the door
trying to peek onto that, because those eight people or so, whatever, in the audience were just going nuts, because Sky and Joey, it didn't matter to them if it was 8 people or 8,000 people, they put on just a a tremendous match. And that's like the one that I've always remembered the most, because it was like, you're two guys that absolutely know what they're doing and don't mind the size of the crowd, don't mind where they are in the card. They're just going to do their thing.
Always go out there. I tell my guys here in Portland all the time, any place I ever wrestle around the country, I always say, be it 10 people or 10,000 people, you go out there and perform like it's WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Every show, because those people paid their money to come watch you work. So you go out there and you fucking work. Don't ever phone it in. You go out there and you work. So, yeah, that's a testament to, you know, to the wrestling in SoCal at that time. I mean, it's it's crazier now, but in that time, it meant something. You know what I'm saying? So let's fast forward. Let's talk about the AfterBuzz TV show. Like, how did you get connected with that? Like, how did you start that?
So I originally got connected into that through Ryan Katz. Who I know you know, associate producer for NXT now. And so Ryan, I knew him, you know, we would always run into each other off and on for years prior to that, because he knew I was another commentator. And obviously he was, you know, the XPW guy. Like he was, he was, I don't want to use the word cartoonish, but he was like the most like physical animated, you know, mouthpiece that was here for a long time. And at that point, he kind of, you know, settled down as far as the crazy antics, but was still breaking things down as a commentator and was doing items at AfterBuzz TV. And when I found out about it, I watched an episode and I immediately DM'd him. I was just like, you know, I would be good at this. Like, that was pretty much my message. I'm like, this is something that I need to do, because you guys are literally just getting a microphone in front of your face, talking about the wrestling show that you just watched, talking about what you liked or didn't like. And then you, and you're being downloaded by thousands and thousands of people.
Wow. And, sounds like a roundtable podcast.
Yeah. Right. And this was around 2013 or like late 2013, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
And Ryan, you know, told me, he's just like, all right, well, you know, he's like, I don't have a, you know, a say per se on anyone that comes in, but I can throw your name in if we ever need, you know, a sub, if someone was out. I'm like, all right, that's all I can ask for. Cause again, like I said before, all I need is an opportunity. If I get an opportunity to go in there, they think I do well, great. If not, then all right, well, I got a shot. About 2 weeks later, he messaged me. He's like, hey, one of the people for Raw can't make it. Can you come in? Yes, I can. Went and filled in and, you know, met like the executive producers and like some of the engineers there. Then I get a message, an email a couple of days later after I appeared for that first time from the executive producer, who told me that the guy who hosted SmackDown, which was actually at the time Rick Drazen, who unfortunately recently passed away.
Oh, yeah. Rick.
It was actually Rick Drazen and the Ballard brothers, who I know you know.
Oh, I love the Ballards.
Ballard is so great. They're so great.
Dude, they were my dream tag team match to have. And when I finally had it, I was like, oh, I can stop wrestling now.
they're and still to this day, as long as they've been around, still to this day, it's work of art with them. But so they're the normal hosts of it, and they would film it on Sunday. That Sunday happened to be Super Bowl Sunday, and they normally would film around noon or so. The producer of AfterBuzz emailed me. He's like, hey, they can't come in. Can you fill in as the lead host for SmackDown that day? Wow. I'm like, well, it's Sunday at noon. It's just like, Super Bowl doesn't start till 3:30. I'll be back home before it starts.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do it. And it literally, because Rick and the Ballards were not there, it started like that show, that particular episode was me as the lead, a guy who appeared as a guest on one episode, and the executive producer. Like, he was the other panelist on the show, because I couldn't get anyone else because no one wanted to come in on Super Bowl Sunday, even though it was still hours before the Super Bowl started. I don't know. But so I did the show, and about like a week or so later, I get another email from the producer, and he's like, hey, you know what? We're going to start a third show, because they're at the time WWE Main Event is going to premiere, because at that time they were actually promoting it like a legit actual show.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I want you to be the lead of that show. within a month, the main event AfterBuzz was getting more downloads than the SmackDown AfterBuzz.
Man.
And they eventually decided to switch up the hosts, and my crew that we kind of developed the main event then became the crew for SmackDown. And I hosted that show for like 7 years.
Man, I mean, I remember watching the very first episode. I think Raven was on there too.
Yeah, he was there. He was there early on.
This guy, you know. As a matter of fact, he was the reason I watched it, because I didn't even know you were on the show until he was like, yeah, man, just blah blah blah, this guy here. And then I clicked on it and I'm like, oh, that's something. You know what? That's something I want to try. I mean, it took me, 8 years, but I finally decided to do it.
but here's the thing. 8 years ago, you wouldn't have necessarily been able, unless you like shelled out a lot of money, to have your own equipment set up to do it. Nowadays, it's just so much more common because of studios like AfterBuzz that you're able to do this and have all these downloads and views that you get, amongst other things, because now the technology is there. Now, anyone who puts in a little bit of elbow grease and has a good idea can put on a show. Then the question is how well you do at that show to get the viewers. We know Bad Blood, we know he does a damn good job.
Well, you know,
he brings me on the show. Therefore,
I was going to say
that equals ratings.
I know who to bring. I bring people that bring ratings. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, I could bring a Drew McIntyre, but I'd rather bring you.
I mean, well, that was probably a mistake. But
probably. I mean, it is Tuesday. You know what that means? Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into any more deep conversation, let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You can go get your haircut at Big D's Barbershop because they cut your hair right. Man, they use a straight razor on my head, Josh. They lined it up. Man, God, I miss California. Haven't had a good haircut like that in, 15 years. Well, 12 years. Yeah, 12 years. But regardless, Big D's Barbershop, they cut you up right. As a matter of fact, we're actually thinking about doing a live remote of the Roundtable Podcast from Big D's Barbershop and having what we like to call a haircutting party. And what that means is the first 10 people in the building to get a haircut can drop their name in a hat, and that draw, that raffle, will be for $100. So, man, think about it. Go and get your haircut, spending $20, get a haircut, and then coming up on $80. Man, that's worth it.
And you know what you could do with that additional $80?
I know what I can do, but we can't talk about that on the podcast.
Well, no, I mean, I'm still trying to keep it PG. I'm just saying they can get a cameo from me.
Oh,
but
there it is.
Well, you can get seven. You can get a bunch of cameos from me for that. But
how much do you charge for a cameo, man?
I mean, I only charge $10. I'm
about to give you $100. I'm gonna get 10 cameos right now. You're getting away. Right. Give me the big shout outs for the Roundtable Podcast. As a matter of fact, man, I think I might just have you on as a special co-host if you're interested.
Hey, we can
cameos.
You know, I'm down for whatever, buddy. You know that.
All we gotta do, ladies and gentlemen, is get him 10 cameos, ladies and gentlemen, 10 cameos.
That's it. That's what it's taken. 10 cameos, and I will co-host the show.
You can find him on Twitter right there. See his name right there, Josh on the screen. Just find him. Find him on Twitter, man.
Twitter
find
and Instagram, Josh underscore Theriff.
Instagram, Snapchat, OnlyFans, all that stuff. You can find Josh.
I'm still waiting for the OnlyFans to be approved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Okay, so we know you did the AfterBuzz thing. You know, like millions of downloads, man. You guys, that show was very influential to a lot of podcasters. And it sucked that it's over with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of the things with, you know, with COVID, obviously a lot of things, you know, take a back. And AfterBuzz, you know, they could very well be back, you know, eventually. Only time will tell with that. Oddly enough, I was kind of pretty much since like on the way out because I kind of done everything that I could and wanted to try to accomplish there. So I was already kind of partially on my way out, and then with just kind of shutting all together, it's just like, well, this kind of now feels makes sense in time, right? So then, yeah. You know, now start kind of trying to focus and figure out some of my other things, you know, try to start doing a little bit on my own YouTube page, youtube.com/Josh Theriff. I have season one of Josh Talks where I'm doing one-on-one interviews, just like what you're doing here. Wow. Season two will be later on in 2021. And then, you know, I'm talking with a few different people, a few different places about a few other ideas that I can't get into many details with as of yet, because nothing's gone to fruition by any means. But when it does, obviously, you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, you'll hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, man, you're always welcome to come back and have a seat at the table, man. You can talk about it. You can hype you can promote your product and everything, man. I mean, you've done like I said, you've done a lot in SoCal and a bit of wrestling, man. You've done a lot, you know, with comedy, improv. I mean, do you have a bar trivia game?
15 years, dude. 15 years is insane to think that it's been that long already, because it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. You know, it's weird, man, because I sat here like 2 weeks ago. I had Joey Chaos on.
Yep.
And we started talking about what things that happened in the past and like the way our careers have, you know, because me and Joy started with we traveled so much together that we had so many road stories, and we start thinking about it and we're like, wow, that was like 25 years ago. I'm like, man, he's like, yeah, remember those black leather boots you had? I'm like, I still have them in my trophy. As a matter of fact, you see the Pacific Northwest belt on my left?
Yes.
Well, it's my right, but your left.
Yeah.
Behind that belt, next to it, are the pair of boots. It's crazy. Like, we talked about this, and it's like, man, that is some crazy stuff, man. Like, who would have thought I've been wrestling 28 years. Who would have thought that almost three decades and, like, all the friendships you've made over these decades and the people that have been in and out of your lives, you know, like I met so many great people, and it's crazy to think that it's been so long, because it seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
You
know, it just doesn't seem long ago at all, where all of a sudden, you know, I'm reffing you in a match back in the days when I'm reffing and you delivering chops, and I'm just like, ah, I'm glad I'm not the recipient.
You know, Black G's and I were just talking. He was on the podcast with us the other night, and we were just talking about you.
G's was talking about? What did G's want to talk about?
Talking about you and Stepdaddy and your feud at AOW over who was the owner. He was like, remember that? I'm like, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call him. And that's what made me think about you today. Like, that's what crossed my mind, because me and G's had just finished talking about you.
The funny story with that, Stepdaddy, he's one of my not just most favorite people in wrestling, most favorite people on the planet. But funny story, when that whole idea started, So like the very first time I got brought into Alpha Omega Wrestling, they kind of brought me in as just almost kind of like a tryout to just be a commentator. And I went up to the guys in charge. I'm just calling them as the guys in charge, since Christian Rosenberg is the owner.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so, but the guy's in charge at that point, and I was just like, can I be a heel? Because up here, nobody knows me. And everywhere else I was working, I'm just, you know, like, go babyface, generic play-by-play guy. It's just like, but if I'm going to be the color commentator here, can I be a heel? And they're like, yeah, sure. But, you know, like, we would need to introduce them. I'm like, all right, who, tell me some of the top heels here. Let me do an interview segment during the show, and they'll be my guests, and I'll just flaunt to how great that guy is. So they set me up with this wrestler who was known as Chris Law, who was a young guy, but just had a ton of great charisma. And Stepdaddy at the time was playing the babyface owner. And I told him, hey, you know, you should, you know, like, maybe interact with us during that segment tonight, because I'm going to be a heel and I'm going to, you know, be putting Chris Law over. And Stepdaddy looked at me, he's like, Josh, I love you, but you got literally too much of a baby face to be a heel. And I was, you know, completely clean shaven at the time and all that too. And I was just like, okay, all right, challenge accepted.
All right.
Did the show. When the show was over or whatever, you know, went backstage. Stepdaddy comes up to me. He's just like, I was wrong. You did that. I can't believe how much they hated you. This could be fun. And then then the wheels started turning. How can we make it work? And it literally went like a year-long feud to build up to the match itself, where I won ownership of the 51%, company.
51%. That's right. 51%. Oh man, I love the 51-49 gimmick. I love it. Like, you're the owner, but I'm the owner. You're the co-owner, but I'm the owner. I have 51 shares to your 49. Yeah, I love that gimmick, man. And it was so cool, like, to watch you guys do it back and forth. John's fucking awesome, man. Like,
yes, he's
a great human being, not just a wrestler, not just an individual. He is a great human being, man. And he speaks it like he speaks it. Like, he tells you straight up, like, hey, you suck. Or, hey, this is what you're going to do to get better. And, you know, the whole babyface thing, like, I'm clean shaven. I don't have a beard or goatee or even a mustache anymore, you know?
Right.
I remember when I first started with AOW, and I was like, and I just came from New Japan, and at the dojo, we were heels. Mm-hmm. And then AOW brought us in. They were trying to make us faces. And I remember Stepdaddy said, grow some facial hair. It might make people hate you. So
it's so crazy how, like, facial hair, longer hair.
Yeah. Look at
just
look
just wearing black clothing.
Look at, like, Ryan Morrow's color clothing. Look at Ryan Morrow. Same
Ryan
thing.
Ryan Morrow's the greatest with it. The long hair, the beard, crying.
And just the name, Morrow's. Like, oh, yeah, that guy's got no morals, you know? Right. It's so funny because, like, when he said that to me, I was like, man, I got a grown old fucking facial hair to be a heel. I can be a heel. You know, and he's like, well, show me, prove it to me. So what I did was, and I tell all my young guys to do this now, if you've never been to a territory, like, let's say, for instance, like, I'm wrestling in Memphis, Tennessee on the 27th. And I'd never wrestled for this company before, but I'm already known, obviously, out there. But I never wrestled for this company. So what I tell my partner who's going with me, I said, look, man, no one knows you here. Go find their Facebook page. Back in the day, it was MySpace for us, but find your Facebook page, right? Everyone has a group page. Go on that group page. If you're going to be a face, you go friend every person on that page. And then you cut the fucking sweetest Disney fucking, you know, Disney character baby face promo ever.
Or even if they don't want to do the fallen promo, they can even just type, like, a post on there, like, can't wait to make my debut and see all the great fans. Yeah.
But if you want to go out as a heel, you go on there and you talk so much shit
Yeah.
That when you get to the place and you walk in the building, they're going to want to fuck you up. I wrestled in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I never wrestled for this company before, and I shot this horrible, this hated promo. I talked so bad about the Colts. I talked about the Pacers. I just shit all over those people. And then I get to the building, and I walk in, and I come out. They introduce me. I come out, I grab the mic, and I do my whole spiel about being the best, blah, blah, blah. And I had to come to this pissant town with all these Indiana idiots and, you know, all these, you know, like I just shit on all of them. And I'm like, I'm going to go back to the back. And when I come back out here, you people are going to cheer for me because I'm the only champion in this whole goddamn state. Right. Throw the mic down, go back to the back. I come back out. They're booing me. My partner's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, because I told them to do something. No one likes to be told what to do.
and that was, it actually funny, kind of going back to that first promo night of Omega Wrestling that I had interacting with Stepdaddy. I told him one thing because, as you know, kind of like the when everyone knows me as Christian Rosenberg, in the back, all the boys, they call me Rosie, just as a nickname. And, you know, so some fans also, you know, like that have followed me for a long time, they would call me Rosie. Going out there as a heel, I told Stephen, I'm like, call me Rosie, and I'm going to interrupt you saying, don't call me that. And so in his promo, he started saying, look here, Rosie. I'm like, that's not my name is Christian Rosenberg. Don't call me Rosie. What happens? The entire crowd, Rosie. Boom. They're mine.
Instant heat, man. Yeah. People don't get it. Like, you can be instant heat right from the gate with the simplest thing. And because you're so good at improv, like, you knew how to switch on that switch right there. You know how to play off of people, which is awesome, man. In this industry right now, people need to understand that they have to be multifaceted.
There's improv and pro wrestling have so many more similarities than people realize. And that's why, you know, and I know they, you know, do their own thing these days down at the Performance Center, but there was a time where wrestlers on their off days, they either were like chose to or were ordered to go take improv classes. That's where I first, you know, not trying to name drop or anything, even though we've both kind of done that a little bit during this, but that's where I first met John Morrison and Miz, because they started taking improv classes at my improv theater that was, you know, that I called my home for many, many years, because during their off time back in the days when they were tag teaming, they both needed to work, you know, a little more on the mic skills. And so they did that, help the character. And look at them now. I mean, there aren't many people that are as comfortable being goofy or holding the microphone in the hand on WWE TV than those two.
Exactly. And they're so over with it. I mean, I always tell people that professional wrestling is a male-based soap opera.
Of course.
And people don't understand what I mean by that. What do you mean a male-based soap opera? We tell stories. We're just physical with our stories. We're very physical with our story, but if you pay attention, you watch us, you see that we are actually telling stories, and we're using not just physicality, but we're using our improv skills to get those stories over.
And, you know, I have so I have a 9-year-old nephew who's become a big wrestling fan, which is just like makes me the happiest uncle around. But you know, and his parents, like, they love how he gets into it, but they're also kind of, you know, they're explaining, and I explain to him too, you know, because they might ask, you know, is this person really hurt or things like that. And, you know, one time he actually recently asked me, he said, is wrestling fake? I said, no, the wrestlers can get hurt. And I said, no, you know, let me ask you, you know, when you watch baseball, he's a big Yankees fan. You know, you're watching baseball players. Those are athletes, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and when you watch a movie, you're watching actors, right? Yeah. Yep. Well, in wrestling, you have athletic actors.
True.
You're finding so they're doing both, because you see baseball players and basketball players and football players, they're doing a lot of really tough things, and sometimes they get hurt.
Yeah.
And actors, you see them, you know, with all that stuff. And wrestling is the hybrid of that.
Same thing. You know, it's a very, very tough business to be in. And, you know, a lot of people get into wrestling for various things. Like, some people get into it because they look at it as their lifelong goal. Like, me as a kid, I've loved professional wrestling since I was like four. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember watching my very first WrestleMania, and I was like, I want to do that. You know, my grandmother was like, if there's nothing in the world you can't do, and she helped me achieve my dreams. But some people get into it because they were bullied or they were teased or mocked. Some people get into it because they play another sport and they see that, oh, okay, like football players get into wrestling because after football is over, they say, oh, this is a good way to make a quick buck. And some people get into it because they have the itch, you know, and then some people just fall into it and it's a perfect fit for them. What would you say was your...
I was hoping you were going to ask that based on when you were going up. It's a combination of a few of those, actually. So I first got into wrestling when I was like around between 3 or 4 years old, like you. My earliest childhood memories were going to my grandparents every Saturday. And it was a trade-off with my grandfather. He would watch the same Popeye the Sailor Man VHS that I would always want to watch. And in return, I would then watch wrestling with him. Didn't understand it, of course. Didn't know it. I remember the first wrestler that I remember is Dino Bravo. Because I hated Dino Bravo. I wanted everyone to beat up Dino Bravo. And now my grandfather, he passed away when I was very young. He passed away when I was around 5. But I still would kind of, you know, watch wrestling a little bit on my own. And when I was 7, my dad took me to my first show, first WWE house show, main event that night, Hart Foundation versus Demolition for the tag titles. And Bret Hart put his shades on my head.
Wow.
And I still have them. They're over on the other side of this room. So from that moment, as a 7-year-old kid, I was like, I want to be Bret Hart. And so then I wanted to get into wrestling. But as I got older, as I became a teenager, one thing with me is I actually grew up with a number of different both learning and physical disabilities. And I was picked on and bullied a lot. And wrestling was my escape because I felt like such an outcast in the town that I grew up in. But when I turn on wrestling, whether it was WCW, WWE, Saturday Morning Superstars, Monday Night Raw, whatever the show was, like, here are fat guys, skinny guys, tall guys, short guys, fast guys, power guys, high flyers, technical guys. It's just like everyone looks completely different, but they're all included. They're all accepted. They all have a role. And that's when I really felt like, you know, this is kind of the world that I feel like I belong in, because I feel no matter what I might have, I would be accepted and welcomed. And to my pleasant surprise, 15 years ago, I get invited to work commentary at a wrestling show, not knowing anybody, welcomed with open arms, accepted. And 15 years later, here I am sharing stories with someone that I've literally been up and down the roads with.
It's crazy, you know, isn't it?
And it's just like, because wrestling accepted me. It didn't have to. Wrestling didn't, you know, there's the classic thing. We don't owe wrestling anything. I mean, or we owe everything to wrestling. Wrestling owes us nothing.
Exactly.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, the men and women in the back over the years, because there's always, you know, the brother and sisterhood. But even with me being a non-wrestler, it still is a little different because I'm not the one taking the bumps with you guys. So I'll still create bonds, but they not might be as close a bond because, you know, no one's putting their body in my hands.
But in a sense, I mean, okay, so you made a good point, and a lot of people don't understand what we mean by the brotherhood. Wrestling is basically to me, I'm trusting my physical well-being to you, and you're trusting your physical well-being to me in a match. But we wouldn't be the characters or the public figures we are now if it wasn't for guys like you on commentary.
And that's where I felt the love, because I'm like, oh, you know, I feel the connection, I feel accepted, but I know it's like, okay, here's my connection with you guys, but here are the other wrestlers. But over the time, they're just like, no, you're here with us too.
Exactly.
Just because you're not taking the bumps doesn't mean you don't help us and we help you. And so it definitely helped me so much, not just as a performer, but as a person. And I truly am grateful and cherish all the crazy shows in front of big crowds, small crowds, no crowds, no ring. There was literally a show that I did once where they literally forgot the ring.
I was there. I know exactly.
Were you at that show?
Yes.
Wait,
how the fuck do you have a show in a ring?
Yeah, and you know, and so there's like so many memories that I made, and there are so many memories to come. And so, you know, it's something I truly enjoy, truly thankful for, and truly want more of. And I can't wait for more stuff to come around here in California and just open up, you know, everywhere. Cause I know we've talked on and off about it for years, but I know one of these days Bad Blood's going to tell me that there's some guy up in Portland that needs a manager.
Hey,
and someone's going to be making a flight.
I mean, I'm just saying, brother. I always need a manager, you know. I mean, I need somebody to control me sometimes because
you do need someone to control you. Once I get on one, man. Some fans might get a little afraid of you at times, so you know, you do need someone to calm you down.
I'm a little mellow to my old age, you know. 46 46 is kind of mellowing me out a little bit, but no, not really. I'm the guy that tells my partner. When we're going out to do a tag match, man, I'm not doing shit tonight. I'm not taking no bumps tonight.
And you're like, I'm not taking any bumps, but I'm the one getting the pin.
And then I'm fucking diving out of the ring, jumping off cages and shit. You know, like, I thought you said we weren't going to do anything. Man, come on, man. You know what it's like. You know, and then the next day.
Second, like, that adrenaline hits you.
Yeah. Then the next day, I'm like, why did I fucking do that?
Yeah.
But before we go, I got a game we play every. I play this game a lot with people, and I really want to play with you because you have a history of like knowing all of these people. So this is what we're going to do. The game is called Team With, Feud With, or Fire. Now, the way the game goes is simple. Okay? The way the game goes is simple. You can team with anyone in the industry, no matter who it is. You can feud with anyone in the industry, and you can give the boot to any motherfucker you want. No explanation needed. Unless you want to give me one. So, Team With, Feud With, Fire.
So, this is just anyone in wrestling, period.
It doesn't matter where. It can be dead or alive, New Japan, WWE, okay. Impact. It can
so,
be
dead or alive doesn't matter. Okay.
It can be Marvin from fucking XWW.
Nope. We're going to leave him out of it.
That was his 2 seconds of fame on my show right now.
Now, am I allowed to alter a little bit since I am not a wrestler? Instead of team with, can I say manage?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, this is tough.
Especially
well, the funny thing is, like, I already have the fire one, and I think it's kind of funny that that's the first one that popped in my head.
You know what? A lot of people automatically just they know who they're going to fire right away.
With you knowing, you know, what you know about me and like the things that I enjoy watching and wrestling, if you were to think what big name, so like a real like legendary big type name that I would fire, who would you think it would be?
I'd say Hulk Hogan.
You're on the right track. You're on the right track, but not Hogan. Man. Hogan would somehow survive.
Oh my God.
I would fire Goldberg.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I said 100%.
We said wrestlers. Huh? I mean, okay, Goldberg.
I mean he wears tights and knee pads. And
did you watch the last match he had? He literally came down the ring in fucking boxers.
I know he did. And it was terrible.
It was horrible. So you fire Goldberg.
I would fire Goldberg. You know, manage is tough because a lot of my favorite wrestlers didn't need a manager because they could talk. But I would think I would love to manage Jericho.
Oh, wow. Two flamboyant characters in one group. I mean,
yeah, again, it's not like he needs a manager because he's just so great on the microphone. But I think, you know, like Mr. Perfect was going to the microphone, but he had Bobby Heenan. CM Punk's great on the microphone, but at one point he had Paul Heyman. So there could be a time where he associates himself with somebody.
Well, sometimes you guys, like with the Heenan, like with the Paul Heyman, CM Punk thing, it wasn't so much as him being a manager.
Yeah, he was just his buddy, his confidant.
It was just, yeah, it was like, okay, so I don't need you to talk for me, but you irritate people too.
And then as far as I would love, again, this, again, the first name that popped in my head. So I'll probably think about this when I sleep and think of 10 others, but the first name that popped in my head, as far as I would like to manage someone and then feud with Edge.
Oh, so Jericho versus Edge.
I think it'd be interesting. Jericho, Edge, because of just, you know, like if we're, you know, drawing that up, that the history, you know, who's Canada's greatest wrestler, you know, you could play that role. Obviously the promos between the two of them and me just getting like a fraction into there and those moments and just the emotion, the storytelling that the two of them will bring into the eventual match. And so if there was some type of dream match like that, and I had the permission to have this much of a part of that story in that match, I would be beyond thrilled.
Well, shit.
That sounds like, so I'll go, thing, I'll go man. With that. I'll go with that for now. And if you ask me again in like 20 minutes, I'll have three completely different answers.
Three other people. Hey, it makes sense, man. It really, truly does make sense. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that first. He would get rid of Goldberg with the ease and with quickness. And you know what?
Yeah, honestly, that one was a no-brainer.
I wouldn't argue it because, yeah, Goldberg sucks.
I met him once too many years ago, which was at a wrestling show where I reffed.
Oh, man. Sorry.
Well, he was very, to be fair, he was very nice to us. And like at that show as a ref, that was where I took my first super kick. And it's funny because like,
was it the
bumps? I took it away. A guy who doesn't normally take bumps took it. So when he kicked me, I didn't just like fall. I like, here's me. I landed like out here. Like I just flew.
You jumped into the kick.
I just jumped as far back as I could. And like in the back, like Goldberg's like saying hi to everybody. He came up to me and he was like, you took a hell of a super kick, kid. And I'm just like, thank you, sir. You could probably break me in half. Because he's just jacked in the nines. Still is.
Well, I will tell you, his match was really horrible. And we did a, myself and Steve Kaufman, who is...
Well, Steve's a real good friend of mine.
Yeah, Steve's a good guy. We did a live stream of the Royal Rumble. And we both were like in awe. Like first thing Steve said was when Roman Reigns came, when Drew McIntyre came out, he was like, this is going to go about 3 minutes. Right. And he was like, if Goldberg wins, I'm shutting the stream off. I was like, if Goldberg wins, we riot, you know? So 2 minutes into the match, I'm like, wait a second. Goldberg came down. Like, literally, Goldberg must have went over to the merch table and was like, give me some of those shorts. Like, he didn't even want to get fucking dressed. And, like, 2 minutes into the match, Goldberg was so blown.
Oh, yeah.
That Drew, like, when he went to spear, when he went to give the jackhammer to McIntyre, Drew literally based himself.
Oh, I saw. I saw.
I was like, yeah, this is horrible. Like, this is worse than him versus Taker in that Saudi show. It was really fucking horrible.
I think the Taker one was still worse.
Oh, no, that was the worst match in the history of the fucking super shows that they do in the Saudi Arabian desert. But
this 100%.
Goldberg really, you know, people are complaining about Edge, and people were complaining about Sting coming back, right? Sting's 57 or 50, 51 or whatever.
I get why people are upset, but at the same time, it's just like, well, let's see what the story is with it. Now, like, if all of a sudden Sting becomes champion at age 60, okay, then you might have some gripe. The story with Edge, you know, winning the Rumble after everything that I went through, you know, that's the type of thing of, okay, well, you know, the story would make sense. And if he were to win the title, as long as it's not a long reign, I can accept it because the story is there. But if the story is there, but then he still ends up losing, that's even better.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like this. If it was a Zack Ryder situation, remember Zack Ryder won the United States title and then lost it the next night on Raw?
That was the IC title.
The IC title. Okay. Yeah, he won the title. Yeah. He won the title at WrestleMania or whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
And lost it the following night on Raw.
Lost it the next
night. Which Zack Ryder constantly says that he loves.
Yeah. He didn't want the title. He was like just glad to be. He's one of those guys where like, I don't want to be in the main event of WrestleMania, but I'm just glad to be here.
He wanted the moment, and he got the moment.
So I mean, if it was something like that, I can kind of understand it. But if you give him the title and he's got a fucking whole year as champion beating everybody, then I look at it like this: you're not building any new stars; you're burying them.
Yep.
WCW. AEW, on the other hand, they want the opposite thing. They're building brand new stars. Like they've got Darby. Mm-hmm. They got Darby Allin. You know, he's teaming with Sting. So you got a mentor for this kid who's building him. He's building the kid up. You know, you got
MJF with Jericho.
MJF same with Jericho. Exact thing. I was gonna say the same thing. You know, like they're building these guys up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we have a mutual friend who is a WWE like to die, like diehard WWE guy. They can never do any wrong. But the first time AEW does something wrong, he's all over it. Like, you know, AEW did this, and this. But they're constantly beating NXT in the ratings. Mm-hmm. You know, they're constantly building new stars. Well, they don't have any good women in the women's division. Why? Because the WWE is bringing back Jillian Hall and Alicia Fox and shit, you know? like seriously. You know? Then they bring Rhea Ripley up and they fucking job her out to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. You know, they should have put her over for Charlotte. They did I am so ecstatic that Charlotte Flair did not win the Rumble and that NXT call up won the Rumble. Finally, they're building some fucking new stars.
Yeah, no, I loved when Charlotte got knocked out and it was just like, it came down to Rhea and Bianca. I was just like, I'm happy. Like we're at a final two where I'm happy either way.
The best part about the whole thing is when they were sitting on the apron and Bianca looks at her, she looks at Bianca and she goes, look, let's not do anything stupid. Okay.
Yeah. Let's not do anything. Let's just go back in the ring. And let's actually wrestle. None of us try any trickery stuff. We can't this way. We don't let Charlotte get involved. Let's just,
yeah, it was so fun.
Get on in.
That was the best part of the Rumble for me. I will say, and I have a little heat with the Rumble right now. I'm a little fucking offended because I was in a Royal Rumble pool, and I drew my numbers were number 2 and number 26.
Of which one?
The men's Rumble.
Men's now, 2 and 26.
Because
Edge was originally announced
number,
to be number
2.
And we got Rumble. No explanation for that.
Oh, I do. Thunder Rosa from AEW it won the fucking thing, and I was pissed. And I sent her a text, and I'm like, you fucking won. Congratulations. But the WWE screwed me. Even on the podcast the next night, I'm like, the Royal Rumble was good, but I was robbed by the Royal Rumble.
You were robbed. And that's all that matters.
And then I was like, and an AEW person won. So WWE, you can suck a fat one. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another exciting installment of the Roundtable Podcast. Your boy, the franchise here, from my boy Josh. You can find him on OnlyFans. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him everywhere.
Again, OnlyFans is still pending, but in the meantime, Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg if you want to get merch. And again, hit me up on Cameo.
That's right. Look, ladies and gentlemen, Cameo's a real, he needs the Cameo money, ladies and gentlemen. $10 Cameo. He'll give you a shout out.
Not for much. We haven't had any physical shows to go to in a long time because of the pandemic. So, you know, help me and I'm not the only one in wrestling that's on Cameo. There are other people on there, or buy their merch. Support them.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, you got to support local indie wrestling. You got to support Josh, man. Support the Round Table. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/BCWTV. You can find us on YouTube at BCW Worldwide Television. You can also find us on the Anchor app, Anchor.fm/radio, the Round Table Podcast. And you can get us on stations like Apple at applepodcast.com/podcast/the Round Table Pro Wrestling Podcast. That's a lot of backslashes there. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Radio Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify, man. We are everywhere. You can just go like, click, and subscribe, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, it will be worth your while. For Josh, it's your boy, the franchise, and we want to thank you very much for joining us on another exciting installment of the Roundtable Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you tomorrow live with WWE legend, former WWE Tag Team Champion, Sir Mo. Peace.